rules will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Aaron, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
You just blew my mind.
Tinfoil Hat.
And welcome to another fun, festive episode of Tinfoil Hat. Thank you guys for tuning in. Joining me is XG and the place to be. Thanks for being here, buddy. Battling, you guys have no clue the battling of the traffic that this guy has to do to come drop those truth bombs.
It's horrible.
It's horrible, but it's horrible, you're a fucking
but I love
champ.
It. It's worth it. It's you're worth a champ. It. Every time.
XG and I hung out at the Comedy Store on Friday night. We did our friend George Perez's show. Packed house of Mexicans, and they just love those conspiracies, dude. They just love them.
Dude, did you see the lowrider right in the front?
Yeah, dude.
You knew it was George's show.
Oh, dude, I knew it, dude. I knew it, dude. A lot of amazing things going on. Guys, thank you so much for all the kind words on my special. That's right, Zero Fucks is available. There it is. Basically, all you got to do is go to Vimeo.com, put in the hashtag either Sam Tripoli, Zero Fucks, Viper Room. Any of those will come up. It's doing really well. You could rent it. You could rent it or you can buy it. Here's my thing, man. It's doing well. There's a lot of people listening to the show. I'm amazed a lot of you haven't gone and listened to it. I think you should check it out because I think you'd really enjoy it. If you love the show, you'll love it. $1.99. Dog, that is basically a candy bar for like 35 minutes of pure murder in a historic venue. And then December 14th, boom, Armageddon drops. I'm super excited about that. That will be next. And I'm excited. So it's going to be boom, boom, boom. So go support the show. What else do we have?
Zanies.
December 15th, we Tinfoil Hat with myself, Eddie Bravo, my friend Reed Becker, and our good friend Trevor Kevlo will be there. It is an 11 o'clock show. I just got word tickets are selling fast. It's almost sold out. It's really close to being sold out. So I know it's, when my manager goes, dude, you sold a ton of tickets. I'm like, holy shit. So Chicago's coming to party. Grab your tickets now. Pack it out. Because if you're in Chicago, you help us out. We pack the show out. That means we're going to be able to come around and come back around and do an earlier slot. So we won't be at the 11 o'clock. We'll get the normal human hours instead of the truth bomb dropping serious motherfucker 11 p.m. spot. Okay, so come check that out. Support us on that. The Patreon is rocking, dude. I added so much content last night. Interview with Amy Chipo. I did a Q&A. I did a live stream with everybody on Patreon. And then I also dropped the XG and myself's Q&A that we did with you guys. We answered your questions from Twitter and from the Patreon. So check that out. And I think that's it. Is that it?
We got the website.
Oh, the website. Go to tinfoilhatpodcast.com. That's tinfoilhatpodcast.com.
Man, knew you bet on the game on the fight this weekend. What you got? Because I know you put it on BetDSI, right?
Yes. Oh, BetDSI. BetDSI for all your bet needs. You're killing it today, XG. BetDSI. Go to BetDSI. Use HAT100, and they will match your deposit up to $500. Go support our friends. By the way, I did go to the fight. I went and saw Tyson Fury versus
Wilder. Wilder. That shit was fucking crazy, man.
And it leads into what we're talking about today. So right before the main event started, they had a moment of silence for George Bush. Well, I'm going to bring in our guest real quick. But go to BetDSI. Go to BetDSI and use promo code HAT100. Help us out. We're starting to ramp up for NFL playoffs, NBA playoffs. Look at my Clippers go. UFC is getting good. We got some big fights coming out at the end of the year. John Jones is back. So get into that. Joining us, via the power of Skype. He is a returning champion, one of our show's favorite people. Everybody loves us. He's a young Christian warrior, okay? Please welcome from those conspiracy guys, Gordon Rochford, everybody. How are you, dude? How are you, Gordo?
Really good, man. Thanks for having me on again. It's been a long time. This is OG.
Have you ever talked to a Mexican before?
Yes. How's it going?
It's going great, man. Yeah. You know what? I love your podcast. You go fucking deep. It's 3 hours, 4 hours, and you got to set your time apart for that shit. They go insane. When people bitch about our shit, it's too short. All right, hit these fuckers up.
We're the training wheels. I always say that. We're the training wheels. Yeah. And then people like, you know, those conspiracy guys, Higher Side Chats with Greg Carl Wood. Like, those are the guys you go when you got like 2 days to you know, sit down and listen to this podcast, because you guys really do go deep, and I love you. So thanks for coming on. Now, I contacted a couple people like, hey man, I gotta do this podcast on Black Nobility, and I'm like, man, I haven't had Gordo on in a while. I'll hit him up. So we're gonna do a podcast on Black Nobility, and then, you know, ding dong, George Bush is dead. And I just started getting bombarded by people going, dude, you got to talk about this whole thing. You got to talk about George Bush dying, because everybody on Twitter and Facebook and the news was talking about what a wonderful American this guy was.
Well, it's the forgiveness of death, right? You die and then everyone is like, oh yeah, I forgot, I don't know this shit. Like, even a war criminal like W is sitting on Jimmy Kimmel and he's just going, oh, hi there, Jimmy. How you doing? It's just me, old Uncle George. Come on for a, you know, ruffle my hair like you did to Donald. You know, and he's a fucking, some like nice old dude now. And we forgot like 20 years ago that he is a war criminal with Tony Blair.
Oh, you dude. Know, I mean, it's not even 20 years ago. It's 10 years ago. 10 years ago. And here's the thing. I'm really starting to think that George H. Bush, or is it George W. Bush? It's George W. Bush.
H.W. Or is it young or old? George?
The younger one.
Just
a puppet. I really do believe that, because I'm starting to look at how Reagan operated and what George H.W. Bush did to Reagan. And Reagan, I just think these guys were good, kind of dumb, patriot puppets.
Reagan was just like, well, I just do whatever George tells me. Like, he was just a little bit drunk for 8 years and just did whatever he was told. I think he had a couple of slips as well. Like, he was like, when we send the lasers into space to shoot the aliens, you're like, Ron, stop.
And now we got it coming back again. It's unbelievable.
Sure. So you're telling me you believe in the MK Ultra part of it?
I think let's take a look at George Bush, George W. Bush, right? And what he represented. There is no way Dick Cheney could ever have been elected by himself. There's just no way. They would never be able to get him. He's just too evil. So you got to put this guy that just is like, hey man, just hang around, you know, just hang out, you know, just like this good old boy. And what they always say, man, oh dude, someone I could have a beer with, which was hilarious, because at the time he wasn't, he's a recovering alcoholic. And he didn't even drink. And that was their cell. Oh, I could sit down and have a beer with this guy. And you just like, you look at like how they manipulated everybody to get, you know, Cheney in. And then Cheney basically ran that thing. And that's why word is they don't talk right now, because he destroyed his legacy. Dick Cheney, George Bush cannot leave the country.
There was fuck a whole thing of tug of war between the leadership saying like, some people saying that they were puppets and some people saying that, you know, they're being pulled behind the strings. Like in Ireland, we have a president, but it's merely kind of like a figurehead, you know. So he kind of looks like a traditional leprechaun type character. He's a Gael Gore. I don't know if you can pull up a picture of him.
What's his name?
His name is Michael D. Higgins.
Michael D. Higgins. Looks like yeah, and he sounds like a cast member of Beverly Hills 90210 back in the 90s.
Well, you see him. He looks like a mythical character, you know, and the way he talks and stuff like that, I feel he's a really good representation of
Ireland. Bring that up on there we go. Oh yeah, yeah, look at that. Oh my God, how much does he look like that Jimmy Savile or whatever his name is?
No, he looks like Dobby from from
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yeah. He looks like the little fucker, the little goblin-looking thing.
Wow.
Look at that boy. He's one of those guys that when you think of Ireland, you think of him. And he talks like this. How's it going, everybody? Now, and we're right here now. A card, yeah. Welcome now. And like, it's very super duper Irish, right?
And he's a representation
of our country to the world. So he goes and he represents Ireland. He talks about Ireland, Irish, importance and. People are like, yeah, this guy represents what we stand for. Whereas in America, like the Irish president has actually no power really to like change the laws as such or whatever. It's done by Parliament really, and we have a prime minister then and he's kind of the leader of the government. So the president is more of a figurehead. And in America, they kind of think it's the same thing, where like the president gets elected, and then you know he's run by the shadowy cabal behind the curtain, and they don't really have any autonomy. And they said the same about Trump. Like when he got elected, it was like, ah, oh, this guy is just a fucking businessman. He doesn't actually know how to do politics. And they're going like the dark forces, you know, the they we talk about on our show, where we don't really, you can't really name who they are. Those people are pulling the strings behind the scenes. And it seems that George H.W. Bush, as vice president for Reagan for two terms and president on his own, and before he was vice president, he was the fucking head of the CIA for almost seven years. Like, he seems to be one of the guys of the day who finally put his head up above the parapet and went like, yeah, we're going to take control right now. Yeah. We're going to make moves. We're going to start wars. And the shit happens, you know?
So let's get into him because, there's so much info. There's so much info on this dude.
You could do 7 hours, man. I think the next time we meet, Sam, I'm going to be in America in that studio with ye. So we might record a George Bush episode for 5 or 6 hours. You think you can go for 6 hours?
Well, we got to get Aaron to sign off on a 5-hour episode. Aaron,
yeah.
Nope.
I think he's out of.
He already killed it.
Get a couple of bags of disco dust, and we just go for 5 or 6 hours.
Oh, yeah, dude. You want to do fucking drugs, Aaron?
You ever heard of George Bush, man? No, I don't do drugs.
Alex Jones on this shit.
Sober 8 years, man.
Let me bang out some real quick information about him, and then we'll start getting into all the craziness about George Bush. George Bush was born June 12th, 1924 in Milton, Massachusetts. His father is Prescott Bush, okay? Prescott Bush, here we go. Prescott Bush was believed to and basically confirmed that he worked with the Nazis. Just straight up. Worked with the Nazis as a
Nazi banker.
As a Nazi banker, right? He was a banker. He funded them. I mean, we're looking at a lot of companies that work with the Nazis. Bayer, GE, Disney was like, Walt Disney created Mickey Mouse to be a Nazi propaganda. And
Henry Ford was a massive contributor along with Prescott Bush to the Nazi regime in the late teens and early 1920s.
Yeah, I mean, one of the craziest conspiracies out there that, listen, people, do you believe all conspiracies? I do not believe all conspiracies, and here's one that I do not believe. I do not believe that George H.W. Bush was secretly a Nazi that helped undermine Tesla. Have you heard this whole thing?
I was looking up some stuff about that. Tesla seems to be sprinkled onto a lot of different conspiracies because he was such an enigmatic, like weird dude who had some weird ideas. We did a whole episode on Tesla and his history, and he seems to be associated with everybody. Yeah. So he was in the Philadelphia experiment. His technologies was used to make time travel and invisible boats. And then there was a yoke came around last summer about Donald Trump actually being a time traveler because his dad owned the hotel the Tesla died in and they robbed the safe.
Well, rumor is that Donald Trump's uncle was good friends with Tesla. And when Tesla went down, he ran in and grabbed all the bad shit. Grabbed all the crazy shit.
All the papers, right?
Yep.
The death ray.
Yeah. It goes back to that shit. Oh,
it's so interesting. I'm trying to find this fucking thing. Of course I can't find it right now.
I have an article on here, but I don't know if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, click on that.
Yeah.
Do you guys see how... okay, it's a separate thing. Basically, here's how it goes. Here, yep. So... Where are we here? Okay. So Nikola Tesla was supposedly murdered by a Nazi named Otto Skorzeny, Skorzeny. Okay. And this is all from a deathbed confession in which he said that he himself choked out. Choked out Tesla with his bare hands. Now, Otto was a... There's many pictures of Otto. He was basically Hitler's bodyguard. And he was an assassin. He's the one who basically said that Hitler, through the help of the CIA, had gotten to Argentina. They really didn't die. And that Argentina... That the reason the U.S. government didn't say anything because they didn't want to piss off the Russians. But there's pictures of basically Prescott Bush... Otto and George Bush. If you Google those pictures, you'll find those pictures.
There's a picture from the Idaho Observer in 2007 that has Otto Skorzeny. It has Mengele, you know, the butcher, guy who was doing all the crazy experiments. Another bunch of Nazis and a guy called, and here's a weird one, a guy called George Scherf Sr.
Yeah.
As a former Nazi, there's pictures of him as George Scherf, Scherff. Now, this George Scherf, according to Otto Skorzeny, in his deathbed confessions, he said that George Scherf changed his name to George Prescott Bush.
Hold on.
Yeah. So Prescott Bush, which is George H.W. Bush's dad, was actually a different guy called George Scherf. Now, I don't think that's real. I can't believe that's true. Prescott Bush ran First Union Bank, and because of the, I think there was a law brought out, there was an act brought in to stop trading.
Yeah, it was trading with the enemy act during the World War, and this fucker didn't care.
Yeah,
he didn't fucking care at all.
But they were still trading with the Nazis. They were funding all that stuff. So like Ford and Disney and all these guys were hopping money into Prescott Bush. Prescott Bush was sending over to Germany, going, "Good luck with that, lads. Don't spend it all in one shop." And basically, Prescott Bank got shut down, which pissed the Nazis off. I don't think. That from what we've done, right? So we've on those conspiracy guys, we've done an episode on JP Morgan, money and gold, and the creation of the Federal Reserve, and that's a one whole big like arc of a story. And then we've done another set on marijuana, peak oil, and Monsanto, which is a whole nother arc. And those three don't really seem like they should be linked, but they are very much so. And the destruction of the pharmaceutical industry in mainland Europe in exchange for, let's say, business concerns should the war end in favor of the alliance or in favor of, you know, America and Britain or whatever, Germany will get their few bob. So World War One was basically started to stop the manufacture and distribution of pharmaceutical drugs, including, antiseptics for wartime from Germany. So they had like undercut or took the legs out from under Germany's pharmaceutical production capabilities in order to move all that stuff to America. And that's that was the start, the creation of Big Pharma, which we also
did an episode. God, dude, that's insanity.
And World War II was the absolute solidification of the petrochemical industry by making concerns within developing nations that have oil and changing the rules surrounding how America is allowed to contain, produce, and distribute oil. So at the time, America was producing and consuming its own oil, and they wanted to make it so that they were the biggest oil creating and consuming country in the world. And obviously, like, the Bushes are involved because Texas and the Texas oil guys and all this kind of stuff. But with World War II, they had certain, let's say, operations that were already in place. So, like, they already knew the Nazis' regime. They already knew the Nazis' scope of control. And World War II was just, like, a little blip that happened.
Because here's the thing, dude.
Before the war finished, before the war was even started, they were moving Nazis over to America. And through Operation Paperclip, which yep. Those Conspiracies also has a show on, they fucking took over hundreds of these guys. It was a science experiment into rocket propulsion, fuel injection engines, into, like, higher octane fuels. And it was a whole petrochemical war, like, was one of the biggest reasons behind it. So, like, when they pulled over all those rocket engineers and all those scientists and the lads who were fucking sewing Jews together and, here, let's put a fucking vagina on a Jew's face and see what happens. You can fuck his head. Like, crazy experiment, sewing babies together and brain transplants and shit. Like, the American pharmaceutical and medical industry wanted that information. So they're like, if we create, like, a lawless, you know, war-torn world where some nasty cunts get to do that to other people, we can vilify them, destroy them, and then just absorb their information. That's kind of the whole construction behind that. And the Bushes were definitely in on that shit.
Oh, for sure, dude. How crazy is George Prescott Bush when he is funding the Nazis, knowing that his son is on the other side fighting the Nazis, to the point that George H.W. Bush gets shot down, supposedly, by running all these, by flying military operations for the Navy, and gets shot down.
This is the thing. I looked into that, right? So they were given.
And did we lose him? Are you there, bud? He froze. All right, just re-app it up. He'll come back, hopefully. Should we redo?
Well, that plane was shot by Japanese forces.
Yeah, but my point is, like, you're funding the other side, and you know your son is fighting.
It's fucked up.
Like, how fucking dark is that?
It's fucking stupid.
Is he back? He hung up? Dude, we were getting too close. Is he coming? Here he comes. So basically, I want to get it. So let's keep moving. Rumor had been, I see the information I saw wasn't that Prescott changed his name, but that George H.W. Bush had changed his name. Prescott changed his name makes more sense to me. Bush changed his name doesn't make sense to me. H.W. because he'd be too young. Okay, so Bush, let's move on. Are you there, bud? I don't know what is going on. Story of my life. Here we go. So Prescott basically. Are you there, dude? There you are.
Am I back?
Yeah, you are back, dude. You got too back, close baby. To the truth, bro. The pharmaceutical companies, they'll take you out.
All the keywords came in there in Google. Just Microsoft just switched me off there. And
yeah,
that's like,
dude.
Fucking AI.
Need to get some dark web video chat going on.
So,
here, just before we go too much further, if I get cut off again, do ring me back. The way I am situated now, I'm in a small little wooden house. A little beachside, a beachside condo, a little jabbo, because I've moved out of my house in Dublin to get ready to move to America to do a 6 or 7 month documentary road trip. So I'm working off of mobile internet right here. That's why I don't have the usual microphone set up and everything.
Well, it's working for the most part, just occasionally drops. But it's great.
Sorry about that.
Hey, we're going to do the best we can, dude. You know what I'm saying? We're fighting the fight.
I feel like I'm a cross between Ted Kaczynski and Mel Gibson's character from Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, that's a good combo, bro. That's a good combo. So basically, Bush gets shot down September 2nd, 1994. He's shot down over Chichijama in the Pacific. Not long after, Barbara receives a letter that George has assumed he was all was well, but Barbara told Hager that the letter was dated before George's plane was hit, which is very interesting.
This is the thing. George, we gave W loads of shit because he's like, I was out there fighting the war. I did my service. And you're like, he showed up at like training camp and he used to be drunk and like on coke and just being like, hey guys, great party. Like, he didn't really do his service, and people are accusing George H.W. of the same thing. But he's still a baller.
I didn't even think about what that meant.
Yeah, like they don't. Those guys don't put themselves in any danger, really. Like they get a fucking biography written about them to say they did the shit, but they didn't do any shit at all. But in fairness, HW, he jumped out of a helicopter age 90. Four years ago, he jumped out of a helicopter in a tandem parachute jump. Like, that's some baller shit, though. Really.
Well, I mean, here's the whole thing. He met Barbara Bush when he was 17. She was 16. A little thing about Barbara Bush. You remember Cuckapalooza. she's most likely Aleister Crowley's daughter. I mean, and here's the thing, dude. There are pictures of Barbara Bush.
I looked it up right now.
Look at this.
Oh, identical. But Sam, before you go on, though, do you know about that thing in World War II?
What?
Do you know about that? Do you know what happened in that? Like what happened, why he bailed out of that plane?
No.
I was looking into it. He bailed out of the plane, right? He told the story 10 different ways to 10 different interviewers when they asked him what happened during your military service. And in order to try and make himself seem more legitimate as a military hero, because that's what all the biographies after he died, that's what they're all saying, like, oh, George H.W. Bush, he was a military hero, decorated, you know, war veteran and all that stuff. Apparently, he bailed out of a plane and the plane crashed and killed the other two lads in the plane. But he was the pilot and he ditched the plane, didn't tell the two lads he was ditching, and he deserted his post, as it were.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, and it's a court-martial worthy infraction in the Navy to do that. And he said in one interview that it plagued him, this is a quote, it plagued him that he may not have given those guys enough time to get out. And he told another story about the plane. It was hit by a ground-to-air shell, and it ripped right up through the thing, right up through the middle of the plane. The cockpit was filling with smoke, and he was just like, fuck, and he ejected. And this is what he got his, you know, Medal of Valor or whatever. And the other two guys died. The plane behind him said that absolutely didn't happen, that he just bailed out because they were going into some ground fire, and he just went, and just pulled the thing
like cowardice. John McCain, who basically killed 180 Navy guys, and then dad was super high up in the Navy. And
also, John McCain was fucking squealing like a pig when they put him into the torture chamber and he told all the secrets. Apparently, there was lads in there saying that he was gleefully telling them military secrets, and loads of people got killed because of these guys. But like I said at the start, when you die, everyone thinks you're a great motherfucker.
Not on this show. We fight that. That's the whole point of this show, is the pushback from these blue checkmark fucking con artists on Twitter trying to convince us that this evil fuck, and we're just going to get into it, dude. This is military. I mean, we haven't even gotten into the things that this guy's associated with.
They're part of the Cross and Bones.
Yeah,
you know how that crazy
goes. So he goes to Yale. He joins the Cross and Bones, Skull and Bones. Okay? Yeah. Which now, people might not know this, but every single one of our Supreme Court justices have been from Yale or Harvard. All of them have been Yale or Harvard. That is the epicenter of where the power elite brainwashing happens. Right there.
I don't think Ruth Bader Ginsburg would be like jerking herself off in a coffin down in the tomb in the Skull and Bone Society, though.
Well, they probably had a lady one where they had to shove dildo crosses in their buttholes or something like that.
I can imagine.
It's already crazy as it is.
Doing that. That's right, a terrible image.
I mean,
Skull and Bones is nefarious, man. We just finished an episode as one of our newest ones, Bohemian Grove. And like this kind of satanic society and this kind of fraternal, you know, let's just pull the dick of the guy sitting to your left until we all jizz together, you know, in some kind of weird, sexy gay thing that makes us all keep secrets forever or something. Like, it's really weird.
Yeah.
I've never been in a fraternity.
Initiations, dude. That's what every level of everything is initiation. That's the whole thing with Pedogate, man. Why is Pedogate what it is? Because they catch you doing either sexual shit or the most evil love shit to children. And now it's like you get jumped in. It's why gangs have you go shoot somebody.
Exactly.
You know, why do they have gangs have you go kill somebody? So now they have something on you. So you can't just go rat them out. They'll rat you out. So that's how it fucking goes. So now they, you know, you sit in the middle, you jerk off. Like, what was it? The guy who ran England was like, basically came out that he had to fuck a pig's head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's not the worst of it. But yeah, yeah, absolutely. So Skull and Bones has this really weird thing where they have like nicknames for everybody. And George W. Bush was known as Magog, and George H.W. Bush was known as Gog. And they gave you these names. So there was lads in it like William Howard Taft, who was the first Skull and Bones guy to get the presidency. He was number 27. He was called Odin. There was Prescott Bush, then the father of George H.W. He was in it, and he was one of the maddest bastards they ever had in it, apparently. They went out one night drinking, and Prescott Bush dug up the head of Geronimo from the sacred site, like where he was supposed to have been buried. And they took Geronimo's skull and they put that in the fucking tomb in, and it's still there in New Haven in the Skull and Bone headquarters, you know? And one of the most powerful secretaries of war ever, Robert Lovett, he was basically the architect of the Cold War. He was worked for Harry S. Truman. He was the man at Skull and Bones for like years. And like you said, they all come from Yale. All these guys are coming from really high breeding. You're pulled out because of your family name, and you're put into these different fraternities. Like, I never had a fraternal experience. I was never like, you know, thank you, sir, may I have another? You know, or you stand up on the thing and you have to go through this initiation, right? But I guess, like, when I learned about the Bohemian Grove stuff, like, those guys end up brothers. You know, brothers in, what is it? What do they call them in Skull and Bones? Not blood brothers, but something similar to that. They're like, these guys, we are fucking bosom buddies for
yeah,
life.
Yeah, for sure.
We're
dude.
Ride or die.
Well, I mean, I used to be in a fraternity, and you're always like, we're brothers for life. And then as soon as you graduate, you don't hear from them ever again. But this one is like how you get into the power circuits and stuff.
Sure. But
I don't know if Obama
had accidentally killed a hooker in Las Vegas. I bet you'd still be fucking friends with those guys, right?
Yeah, I'm for sure. For sure. For sure. But
make sure they don't squeal on you.
Right, right. I don't know if Bush, I mean, if Obama was Skull and Crossbones, I don't know. But he was at Harvard, you know, and all of his school records are sealed.
Do you think Trump has been offered to get in it after being president, or you think, because I know he's never been into that show.
I think
maybe
he
into
went
it,
to.
Did
he go to Harvard? Did Trump?
But
go
you
to
think he's part of it too?
What?
You think of Skull and Bones?
I mean, did he? We got to find out if he went to Harvard or not. Did Trump go?
I think Trump went to a special business school.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't think he went to.
Maybe that's why they hate him too.
The Wharton Academy he went to. It's like some super, super duper posh thing. But I doubt they have the same legacy. Like Skull and Bones was founded in 1832. So that shit is old.
Yeah.
And the only reason we know that these other guys are in it is because I think there's like a 40-year code of silence or whatever. So you're not allowed to know. Like all the stuff from the 60s and 70s are available now, but we don't know who was in it in the 80s. But we know who was at Yale in the 80s, so we can make an educated guess. But
all right, let's get on to his let's get on to real quick some information how his political career started. Political career in 1964, Bush ran for U.S. Senate against incumbent Democrat Senator Ralph Yarborough. Bush ran a hard campaign, struggled against. This is so interesting because this is always what plagued Bush. This weird kind of like stigma that probably didn't fit him, but it did. Like Bush struggled against charges of being a carpetbagger for the North. Think about that. He also faced uphill battle running as a Republican in Texas because of the strength of the local Democratic Party. Think about that. In 1964, Texas was Democratic. It's now kind of in that way, but like a year, I mean like 5 years ago, Republican to the bone, dude.
That's it.
Yeah, but think
that's
about
it,
who the
they
Democrats
did. It was Republican
used to be,
all the way.
What?
Minutemen everywhere.
Yeah, dude, this guy knows. Go on.
If Texas was Democratic, like think about what the Democrats used to be. Like in the 1950s, all of the KKK were running around the town, and all the lads that were in the KKK were Democrats.
Oh yeah, that's a great point, dude. That's
so,
a
like,
great
it doesn't
point.
Matter.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, Democrats doesn't mean the same thing now as it did. Like, even 20 years ago, it's not the same.
Yeah, and you know,
you're talking about super liberals now, like hyper liberals. And Republicans now are not as Republican, or the GOP is not as G in their P as they used to be.
Oh, for sure.
In the 90s, the Republicans were basically like Puritans. And now it's a little bit less so.
Nope, you're totally right, dude. I remember they were very much religious right, and they couldn't get a vote. I think they just abandoned that. And now, like I said last week, but it's like basically GOPs now, like Republicans or conservatives, they're like, don't take our guns, don't take our money, and they all swing. They're all swingers. I got to stop saying that. I've said it in the last three episodes. I got to stop repeating
it. It's as well the globalist agenda. Like, you know, we heard the first words like New World Order from George H.W. B.'s mouth, like, in 1991 at a speech. And people were like, New World Order, this is, you know, I don't know what this is. And now we know the United States of Europe, they're trying to make a European army.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to dissolve the borders of all of these different countries and make this globalist agenda. Trump, his whole campaign was built on, worst deal ever. Hillary's trying to make this TPP. People are going to be coming in here. We've got oodles of brown people just running around in Nikes. What is this? How can they afford them? What are you doing here? Where did you come from? Like, it doesn't. Republicans are now nationalists, right?
Right.
Democrats are now globalists.
Right.
And these terms like that we have, like the donkey and the elephant, are monolithic in what they used to be. And we still think of them, and a lot of people still think of them in that way. A lot of people are voting Republican who are in the older generation, who are voting for the Republicans that they voted for in the 70s and 80s and 90s, which are not the same dudes.
Yeah.
And then they're going, why am I not getting the thing that I'm getting? I'm supposed to be getting what, you know, they're taking care of me. So the globalist agenda was definitely on HW's cards. He was a globalist, of all globalists. He's the guy who was head of the CIA. Gerald Ford or Jimmy Carter told him to fuck off, basically, as the head of the CIA for a couple of years, and he came back as the vice president. And like, he was chosen at the very last minute by Reagan as his vice president.
Yeah,
like, it wasn't like he bet out a whole load of other people. There was loads of other guys like Howard Baker, William Simon, Jack Kemp, Richard Lugar, Paul Laxalt. You ever heard of those motherfuckers again?
No.
Nope. Because George H.W. is like, this is mine, me and Ronnie, all the way, man.
No, for sure. Well, first he was trying to beat Ronald, which is very interesting. And then Reagan pulled some shit on Bush, which had to do with their debates and made Bush look really bad. And that kind of blew up in his face, so at the last second. But before we get into Reagan, let's talk about the beginning of where you see Bush possibly W.H., possibly be involved in some New World Darkness, the assassin of JFK.
Yeah. My favorite.
Dude, I watched that Dark Legacy today. Fucking mind melter.
Okay.
Mind melter.
His political career began in 1963 when he was elected chairman of the Harris County Republican Party. Later, just hours after the president was assassinated, Bush told the FBI he believed his political rival, James Pruitt, might have been involved. Which is a very classic, you commit a murder, you tell them who you think that, you throw them on the scent of somebody else. Bush is the only one, the only people who would say he didn't know where he was on the day of JFK, which is very interesting.
Richard Nixon as well.
Yeah.
Richard Nixon never says where he was on the day as well.
I mean, I wasn't born. I wasn't born during that time, but that's like 9/11. You know where you were.
Yeah.
Right? You can't just say, you can't just be like, oh, I don't know.
You know where you were because you weren't born yet.
On the streets in Dallas that day, lads, there was three future presidents. Lyndon B. Johnson, Richard Nixon, and George H.W. Bush. Those lads were there watching that shit happening.
It was an event. Like, we did the JFK. One of the first episodes we ever did was an episode on the assassination of JFK. It was an event for the masses. Now, so Trump, who everybody has a giant affinity for JFK Jr., loved him, where they were very good friends. The whole theory is that JFK is still alive, Jr. JFK Jr. is still alive. Whether you believe that or not, there is that woman.
He's hanging out, man. He's hanging out with Tupac and Michael Jackson and Princess Diana and Dodi Al-Fayed on a Filipino island, and they're fucking doing toots, doing key bumps, and fucking having a great time.
Smoking weed with Bob Marley. Can't forget Bob Marley, dog. Yeah, come on.
So this JFK dump's about to happen. Everybody's flipping out, and particularly the CIA is flipping out because some people are still alive. Who's that? George Bush. So then, you know, so the dump happens, a very limited dump happens, but a couple big things come out in that. And one of the memos is basically a U.S. government memorandum. It is from Graham K. Kitchell, and it basically states that it puts George Bush in Dallas that day.
Yeah, of course. And Richard Nixon.
It puts him in Dallas. And he said he wasn't there. He was 100% there because his father hated Prescott Bush, hated JFK, hated his whole family. You know, because Prescott Bush.
Well, there's a little bit of a conspiracy where, do you know, like when the files came out that Trump released, there's a couple names that are blurred.
Yeah.
They think that one of those names is his name
and they can't
let it out yet because he's alive. So once he dies, which he just fucking died,
yeah,
my name might be in there, which I doubt they'll let it out. But supposedly they say that name that they blocked off is his name.
Go on.
There's still Bushes alive, man. Because so you won't be able to throw that shit out there. It's going to ruin the whole dynasty, you know. But like, even in these things that you can't prove, there's a documentary, Dark Legacy, 1 hour 13 minutes of like strap your fucking head to the back of the chair shit, like absolutely. Crazy information. They're going into the autopsy in the first maybe 20 minutes, and then the rest of it is just all the connections to Bush and the dudes that he was dealing with. It seems that it could be him involved, not pulling the trigger, but making those guys, between the Bay of Pigs stuff, the anti-Castro Cubans. There's some agents. There's a guy called Stroif, who was apparently one of the rebel leaders, who got a whole bunch to drive from Miami all the way up to Dallas to complete the assassination. Like, they were the dudes that were doing it. And they're on the payroll for George H.W., right?
I mean, George H.W. was a Nixon guy. JFK beat Nixon, which would have put, would have gotten him into the White House, or at least within the Washington, D.C. people, out of Texas into Washington, D.C. His dad hated JFK. So it's
But the reason, that's what I'm saying, the reason he hated JFK, and it's all to do with the things that are actually provable behind George H.W. Bush's legacy, is JFK was anti-globalist. He was anti-military-industrial complex. He wanted to smash the CIA into a thousand pieces. Like, he wanted to get rid of this secrecy community, this globalist agenda, this weaponized society that people are being propagandized to. You know about that thing, the Smith-Mundt Act? You know about that, right?
Yeah, what is that?
Smith-Mundt Act was repealed in 2013 under Obama. Thanks, Obama. And it was basically enacted in the few years after World War II to make sure that the American media couldn't propagandize the way the Nazis
Obama,
did.
Yes. Why there's such a flood of misinformation on the internet right now. If we can't control it, we're going to flood it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, like, all of that stuff was on the back burner. You weren't allowed to use the media to propagandize. So like the stuff like the October Surprise and Iran-Contra, the stuff that happened in Guatemala, the stuff that happened with Jonestown. Like, we did an episode on Jonestown, and that's just not 900 people killing themselves. That's a protection of the borders between Guatemala, Guyana, and Venezuela, because the CIA had black operation sites there where they were training lads to rebel against the governments of these countries. Like, George H.W.B. was into all of that shit.
Yes,
he had his fingers in all of those pies. Iran-Contra, where he's selling arms to Iran.
Don't jump that, because I just want to get into the. Oh, because we're gonna get into it.
Yeah, we missed the CIA. We got a couple things.
Yeah, we got. I mean, Okay, I sent you the line. I just like boom, boom, boom in the chronological order. Mm. JFK assassination takes him out. Lyndon B. Johnson is
anti-globalist. JFK was anti-globalist. Like, he wanted to kill the fucking anti-globalist.
Anti-globalist,
movement.
Federal Reserve, wanted to pull out of Vietnam, right? All these bankers were making money off of Vietnam by just funding it and selling arms. I mean, like the whole Vietnam thing, there was a rule of engagement, which basically ensured that the war would never be won. They would just keep going. And JFK wanted that out, dude.
That sounds like the war is now.
The abolition of the gold standard and the Bretton Woods Agreement in 1971. Like, as soon as the both of the Kennedys are gone, Nixon gets in and he's Bush's lad. And he's like, okay, we're going to get rid of the gold standard and basically make money infinite, creating the peak oil crisis, the energy crisis, and destroying the gold standard and making the dollar like inflate into oblivion.
Prescott was known to work with mafia, with them, right? And who did the mafia hate? JFK. Why? Because JFK's dad got the mafia to help JFK get elected. And as soon as he got in, he put his brother in charge of destroying the mafia. And if you listen to James Files, who a lot of people think is full of shit, I think he might have some. He basically said that him and the other gentleman were told to stop the assassination. The other guy goes, fuck it, we're doing it. And they shot him anyways. James Files says he took the bullet cartridge, bit it, put it on the fence, and there's a picture of the cartridge. And then, you know, I mean, like, I went and saw that doc on that dude. And, like, he literally is like, dude, he gave all the information. And you could see, like, this weird figure in the back by the fence, that's where the shot comes from. Then you have all
Jack Ruby is on the payroll. Jack Rubenstein, like, is on the payroll for George H.W. Bush. Like, they're linked with one degree of separation in this Dark Legacy documentary. Your people should definitely watch that, man. Put a link. There's, like, a YouTube channel that hosts it.
So let's get into that, because I'm going to jump. I mean, like, dude, I have tons of things about just Bush destabilizing Latin America. Just assume he led the charge on this. Next thing, Watergate. Bush Sr. was asked H.W. Bush was asked to be U.S. ambassador to the United States and asked to be the head of the Republican Party. Nixon removed Bush from the United Nations in the 1973 and asked him instead to be chairman of the Republican National Committee. The administration turned to Bush to head the RNC because of his reputation of respectability and integrity. It's so good, dude. He is just a master at fucking PR, dude. During Watergate scandal, Bush was a tireless supporter of Richard Nixon until the release of the White House tapes. I didn't know this. Bush basically told Nixon to resign, and he resigned the next day.
He said, you should go, Dick, before they make you go.
Yeah. Was that what was that accent?
That was an American. It sounded like American, but
it sounded like the Beatles to me. Like one of the Beatles told him he should quit.
You should go, Richard, before they make you leave.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
So in 1975, when President Ford asked Bush to serve as the new director of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA was emerging from a controversial period in which its history needed a strong, strong, effective leader to improve morale and reform the agency. By most counts, Bush was a popular director and able administrator. Okay. Then he was asked by Jimmy Carter to stay there. So now he's the head of the CIA. And what we see is the CIA is kind of crumbling. He comes in, reorganizes everything, dude. And then
when he's in that position of power, he is able to fully sweep under the carpet the Warren Commission report and E. Howard Hunt, who is the guy who is suspected of pulling the trigger on JFK, who was arrested and was going to spill his whole guts and tell about the whole system, including, you know, the stuff from the Oliver Stone movie, and name George Herbert Walker Bush as one of the conspirators, unless he got freedom, immunity, and $2 million in cash. And as head of the CIA, George H.W. Bush was in the position to be able to make that happen.
What was that guy's name?
That's a weird one. E. Howard Hunt.
E. Howard Hunt. So he's interesting, dude.
Yeah, he's a mad motherfucker. That's all in Dark Legacy as well. Like, that E. Howard Hunt guy is super interesting. Super, super interesting.
Yeah, he was an intelligence officer. Wow, yeah. With the CIA. Wow.
He was a double agent. And he was involved with
Watergate.
Stuff in Cuba and in Watergate as well. And he was the guy in the office in Watergate. That's what he got arrested for. He was the lad with the torch in his mouth looking through the files. And
Watergate scandal. Yeah. Hunt was convicted of burglary, conspiracy, and wiretapping, by the way, is all starting to come out about Obama, right? Starting to slowly come out with this FISA report.
I think that's why Mueller has taken so long to bring out his stuff, because there's more people going down than they think. You know, they think, oh, yeah, Robert Mueller's going to take Trump down. And he's like, no. There's a lot of people going down in this song.
Oh,
like,
my God. They thought that this guy, Howard Hunt, was one of the hobos or the tramps. Yeah. From the JFK conspiracy. Oh my God.
He's the one that was at the train tracks behind Grassy Knoll. He was apparently the guy who pulled the kill shot, and E. Howard Hunt knows the crack. He knows the whole plot behind it. He knows about the anti-Castro Cubans. He knows about George W. Bush. He knows about Lyndon Johnson was in on it. Like, the shit goes deep, you know, but you have to wait until all these cunts are dead to release all that information. Otherwise, you're just looking at a load of black boxes.
Yeah, dude, it is crazy. JFK, Watergate, CIA. I mean, it's all there.
Did you see it's about the cowboy shit. Scandal?
What?
Did you know about the cowboy scandal?
What is the cowboy scandal?
The cowboys.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that. Okay, That's the Franklin one. Hold on. So next we'll move into... So we talked a little bit about he's ex-CIA. He wants to run. Reagan's running. He tries to run against Reagan. There's this really big... There's a debate between... It was supposed to be between Reagan and Bush, right? Reagan decides to pay for it and invites other debaters to come who are running. George Bush doesn't know that and shows up, and it's just chaos. And supposedly, Reagan had people cut off his mic, and then he was like, hey, I paid for this, which was, a big moment in the debate, and basically he lost. So you were talking earlier about how Bush was brought in at the last second as his vice president.
What I think is that Herbert Walker Bush was promised the presidency, and when he didn't get it, he kicked up a fuss with the overlords, and they made a concession and made sure that he was going to be the vice president, because he had done his duty, he had done his due diligence, he had kept his mouth shut about JFK and all the other stuff, and they needed him to make moves. I think he is a definite high-ranking agent of the globalists and the globalist agenda.
Oh, for sure, dude. His dad worked with Nazis. The CIA is a Nazi organization. He ran it all.
I think absolutely. And I think there is way more Nazis in the American system. Let's say the system, like,
for sure,
Nazis,
dude.
In the fact that they're not like, we hate everybody who's not white and blonde or blue eyes. I'm talking about like the agendas of control, the methods of propaganda and manipulation. Like, that's what the Nazis are. And isn't it easy to accuse somebody else of the things you were guilty of yourself? So now you have all these college kids tromping the streets in Berkeley, going like, no Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA. Like, get the Nazis out of here. We don't want no Nazis here. Like, it's like, you don't even know what a fucking Nazi is, man.
Yeah, you're calling Trump a Nazi, but yet, like, the Bushes worked with literal Nazis. Yeah. They helped get them to the United States. The CIA is literally a Nazi organization. The NSA, NASA, Nazi organization. They're just one. It's just facts, man.
Yeah.
It's just facts.
A lot of the pharmaceutical, like FC Bayer and turned into Bayer, and it's Monsanto. They're the lads that dropped Agent Orange on the people in Vietnam. They're the guys who put PCB in all of the electrical polls all over the country, gave the whole place cancer. That dude got over $200 million for suing Monsanto because of Roundup. They're giving everybody fucking crazy cancers, like with the genetically modified foods, because they want to be able to create a controlled population. Do you know in Ireland we have fluoride in the water, and fluoride is an absolute mind control drug that was used by the Nazis in concentration camps. Like, it's proven. that it's really bad for your health. And still in Irish water, we have loads of it. One of the highest concentrations in the world.
They want to get the population down. They would like to get the world population down to a half a billion. We're at billion.
Agenda 21 shit, man. You know, we have an episode coming up on Agenda 21. We have an episode coming up on the war on drugs. There's another one coming up on the Bush dynasty and all of this kind of stuff as well. Like, it all links together.
It's Let me get into the next thing, dude. Okay. Yeah. So George H.W. Bush becomes Reagan's vice president. We know there's tension between Bush wants that role. Bush wants that presidency. He wants to be president. Mm-hmm. So amazingly, March 30th, 1981, Reagan's assassination attempts. Now, here's the thing. Who does it? Hinckley. You know, it's really interesting. The Hinckleys and the Bushes are friends. Okay? I believe there's video of George W. Bush's brother having dinner with Hinckley's dad the night before.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time.
Very similar to George H.W. Bush having breakfast with Osama bin Laden's father on the morning of 9/11 down in New York.
Right?
Yeah.
So what do we have here? I mean, dude, I've had people tweet me that, dude, they don't even think that Hinckley went to jail or to a mental facility. So you hit this guy. George Bush wants to be president. Dude, this means he's part of two presidential assassination attempts. Two. There's been four. He's part of half of them.
And Hinckley is free now. He was living with his ma for 2 years and he got released there the other day, maybe a couple of months ago. Maybe,
if he was even in there at all. I believe a lot of these guys.
Yeah, when he got out, he went to Target.
Yeah.
Literally, he was wearing jeans and a squared shirt and he was at Target.
You know why? Because he missed his Target the last time. That's a great bit. Good setup, dude. So Reagan, he tried to take him on the assassination, right? Which is basically who benefits from Reagan getting killed. Just like Lyndon B. Johnson, the vice president.
You get two and a half terms then.
So let's get into next thing, the Iran-Contra affair, November 1986, man, the Iran-Contra affair. It basically comes out that the U.S. government, the CIA, is basically funding Contras through selling drugs in the United States, right? That's pretty much what it is here.
George Bush's dealings with Iran were kind of more deeply rooted and more nefarious than that. During the election times, they had, when we were trying to get Reagan in the first place, after George H.W. Bush was announced as his vice president, this thing called the October Surprise took place, right, where they didn't want Jimmy Carter winning. They didn't want him to win and go in and be president. They didn't want Gerald Ford to go ahead and be president. So they arranged with the Iranian government to make sure, in 1979, they had a bunch of dudes that were taken hostage.
That was Jimmy Carter, by the way. That was
Jimmy Carter. Yeah, Jimmy Carter.
Yes.
That's what it was. So Jimmy Carter, in 1979, had a bunch of there was a load of lads in the revolution taken hostage in Iran in 79. And they kept them for over a year hostage. And it's said that Henry Kissinger, on the behest of George H.W. Bush, went to Iran and said, listen, can you keep them hostage until after the elections? And then only a week after the elections, the lads were all released. And Reagan got the credit for getting them released.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to give it to Jimmy Carter because they thought that it would have pushed them over the edge to win.
Yep.
And then this guy called Gary Sick wrote this editorial and said that the head of the CIA at the time and Bush and Reagan were all in on that to make sure that it looked like, hey, we're going to get the credit for getting these lads released. Like, that's... Like the most immoral shit. Keep lads as prisoners of war for an extra like 6 months so that you can win a presidential election.
For sure, dude.
Jesus Christ.
And what else happened there, dude? Reagan put a spy. Can you look up? Reagan put a spy in Jimmy Carter's election team that later on came back and was spying on Trump as well.
Yeah. It's mental, like the shenanigans that these lads get up to, double agents and all this kind of stuff. But you're talking about Iran-Contra, and Iran-Contra is like, he's a war criminal at this point because they sold arms to Iran they got Israel to send arms to Iran when there was an embargo on Iran getting arms. So it's like you're arming an announced terrorist nation.
So what basically happened in the Iran-Contra affair is like they wanted to fund these Guatemalan, right? The Guatemalan Nicaraguan
rebels.
Freedom fighters. Yeah. And so they can't come out and do it. So they have to do it through back channels. And what they basically did was they basically used the sale of crack cocaine in the United States to use that money to fund these freedom armies, okay? Now, it's very interesting. Where they get the cocaine from? Who's their coke guy? Pablo Escobar.
But that's the war on, that's the start of that war on drugs and this moral browbeating of the American public and the subjugation of Black and Hispanic population in America by basically putting heroin and crack cocaine on the streets. But they had to do it through an initial legal transaction. So they give donations to Israel. And then Israel does some shit. And then when you go, hey, Israel, stop doing that shit that you're not supposed to be doing. They're like, never forget. You cannot give out to us, okay? Don't say nothing. Remember, Holocaust, okay? We free. All your oxen free. You can't do nothing to us, okay? Like, they get a free pass then, you know?
Well, I mean, you just go back to Pablo Escobar, was a CIA asset. His son came out and said, my dad worked for the CIA. So they were, so it's like, oh, how do drugs get into the United States? Oh, the United States lets them in. They let them in. So this is the crack. So everybody's watching Florida for the drugs coming in. Everyone's like Miami Vicing it. And they're cracking down. Where are the drugs coming on? Oh, yeah.
From us.
Arkansas.
Again.
Arkansas, they're funneling the drugs into Arkansas. Because who's the governor of Arkansas? Bill Clinton. Nobody's paying attention to Arkansas. It is the 50th in everything. Education, money, standard of living. Nobody cares about Arkansas. The coke is being flown in from Arkansas. Where is it? Okay, right here. Bulk drug trade, blah, blah, blah.
Barry Seal was a veteran of both the drug trade and the intelligence business, born in Baton Rouge. Seal was a Buckley athletic man, was a bilingual presence. He was 5'7" inches tall, weighed 250 pounds, and
he's
wore
a fat
thick,
fuck.
Fuck yeah. And wore thick Chuck sideburns.
Oh, let me jump real quick. Hold on. In 1972, Seal moved his base of operation from New Orleans to a small town, Menina, in Arkansas. All right? So all the drugs were coming from Menina to Medellin to Menina, dude, and that's where
Medellin,
it came. That's where it came through, man. That's where it came through. Well,
why do you think that Bush lost his presidential seat to Clinton then in the early 90s? Because Bill was like, "Oh, George, you know, I know where all the stuff. I know where all the bodies are buried, Georgie." Like. Clinton knew that shit.
Yeah.
That's why. I know the Clinton legacy, the Clinton dynasty has now taken over from the Bushes.
Okay, this happens in what year? I think this happens in 1988, right? 1988.
Yeah, the war on drugs was 1986 on.
Guess what album drops at the in 1988? NWA's Straight Outta Compton. What does that mean? That is the glorification of gang banging and drug dealing. That is the beginning of it.
You don't think Ice Cube is an agent for the establishment, do you?
100%. Him, Snoop Dogg. Dude, you know Tupac hated Snoop Dogg because he thought he was a snitch.
There's no way Eazy-E was working for the man. There's no way.
So all this
for the government, boy. Like, that's not happening. Come
they
on.
Took him out with AIDS.
Yeah, dude.
Easy.
Yeah. He was gonna start talking and then Suge Knight gave him AIDS. That's what happened.
And all this comes out. All this comes out by a reporter named George Webb. And they basically assassinated George Webb, dude. They basically assassinated. They made it so he couldn't work, right? He couldn't work. Nobody would hire him. He was broke, living in a hotel, and they found him like suicided. They said it was suicide with two shots in the back of his head.
Worst case of suicide I've ever seen.
Oh, dude, how about that guy now that just got suicide in Ohio with blunt force trauma to the back of his head that they said was a suicide because he was trying to reduce prescription medication prices.
Yeah, I saw that. There's a lot of people dying with that red scarf around the door handle job. You know, that's supposed to be a calling card of the Clintons. That's one of those. And so they say.
So George Wedge puts out this whole thing, which basically is Dark Alliance, right? Which is what you were just talking about. Every paper comes out and says he's full of shit and he's lying. Operation, what is that? Operation Monarch? No. What is that? When it's all the military people in the media. That's Operation, what is that called?
Mockingbird.
Mockingbird. Operation Mockingbird. Yeah, dude. There you go, man. It's just crazy, right?
It's some dark shit, man. We have an episode coming up on the war on drugs, and it's so like immoral, like it's so like inhuman what they're doing to people and how they made that happen. And you forget then about Afghanistan, and that war is going on for 18 years now. Like that is literally only over heroin and the heroin supply, being able to get that heroin in
and take that
money, those trillions of dollars, and funnel that back in. War on drugs, the same, selling crack cocaine, taking all that money and putting it back into South American, making brown people box the shit.
It's the exact same thing. And then we also have our own Iran-Contra affair. It's called Obama-Contra. And we're finding out that Obama pulled the DEA off of investigating whether Hezbollah was selling drugs in America, okay, and shipping the drug money back in cars, which involved the Iran brothers.
We all went mad when we found out that Dick Cheney and the boys squirreled away $2 trillion after 9/11. Apparently, there's $13 trillion now missing. The Pentagon have announced a deficit of $13 trillion. Like, that's a lot of... That's like the entire economy of the U.S. in black operation funding. Like, that's a lot of money, man, to be like...
They failed an audit. $21 trillion is missing right now.
Yeah. Well, 13 is belonging to the intelligence agencies, the letter agencies. $13 trillion. Like, what do you spend that shit on? How does that? Like, oh, I had the receipt. I had them on me, and then I had that one. You know, it's like in The Simpsons when Homer goes over to Fidel Castro and he's like, "It's a $1 trillion note." And Fidel takes it and he's like, "Oh, see, a $1 trillion note. Oh, very beautiful." And he turns away and he comes back and he goes, "Can I have it back?" And he's like, "Have what back?" You know, it's that shit just disappears.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude. Dark arts, man. Dark arts, not including NASA. That's dark arts. Let's fucking Space Force or Star Force. Dark arts, dude. It's all dark arts. The war on drugs. Dark arts, man.
We go back to Fast and Furious. Remember that one?
Yeah.
The Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
We gave the fucking cartels guns.
The Mexico cartels.
All the cartels. We just gave them guns and said here, and we were supposed to track them down.
Destabilize regions. So I want to get into next thing. Bush.
Talk about dark arts because we skipped over a little bit. Don't forget that we have to go back and talk about Aleister Crowley's shit because that's some funny shit. I'll tell you about that.
Yeah, we were talking earlier that Barbara Bush is believed to be his daughter.
Yeah, do you know the story about how that happened?
Yeah, like her mom was in Paris at the same time.
She went to Paris to visit this woman called Nellie O'Hara. And Nellie and Pauline, who's Barbara Bush's mother, basically had to like jerk off Aleister Crowley until he went unconscious. It was part of this thing we did it in our episode where
there's a lot. That's a lot of jerking off.
How many times?
Yeah.
How many times do you think?
It's part of this thing. He was getting conferred into his religion that he made up, and it was called the Supreme Ordeal in this Masonic Ipsissimus grade, where basically you have to use every implement and every sexual skill possible to bring him to a sexual stimulus that puts him into a state of euphoria where he's asleep and not asleep. So like they're fucking ramming him with dildos, they're jerking him off like a million times, and when he's trying to sleep he's like, "I'm too tired, leave me alone." They'll be like, "Okay, leave me alone for a second," and then taking his butthole and then start sucking him off, and like it was just basically nearly like killing him with sex until he was finally so
may we
exhausted.
All die that horrible death.
Yeah. But she came back 8 months later. That thing happened on the 8th of June, 1925. And 8 months later, Barbara Bush was born. And then Tex Myers brings out this thing in 2000, and I think 2002. There's a huge article on his website that basically lays out that George W. Bush is the Antichrist. and the Bush legacy, as it goes, was all towards making him the president to start this, to start 9/11, to start this whole descent into this darkness that we're in at the moment.
I wouldn't doubt it, dude. They're Luciferian dark arts people, dude. Dark arts people.
I don't know like how much power Aleister Crowley has. We have an episode on him, and we're going to do another one. Like he was fighting what's that guy's name?
Jack Parsons, L. Ron Hubbard.
Rudolf Hess he was fighting. There were magicians, and they were fighting the Nazis, and Aleister Crowley was fighting for the English. And he was like casting spells across to Germany, and Rudolf Hess was casting spells back to Aleister Crowley. And then Aleister Crowley's like, so come on then. Come on, let's fucking have it. Like, come on over to here. Come over here and I'll fucking fight you. So Rudolf Hess parachuted into Scotland in a jacket that was covered in magical symbols. And Aleister Crowley was, you fucking dope. I can't believe you came. Arrest him, lads. He's a Nazi. And they arrested him and he survived. Like, he lived out the war. But, like, Aleister Crowley's so deeply in this that, like, we see it as, like, a superficial political thing where there's lads making moves in Iran-Contra and selling drugs and doing this and getting lads elected. But there is definitely some kind of esoteric undercurrent. You keep on saying dark arts and dark arts. Like, do you really think that it's dark magic at work?
Yeah.
Like, you think there's that magical force?
I think there's a doctrine at work. A Luciferian, whether it's the black box of Saturn or whatever it is, that these guys follow this dark, dark way of thinking in which they're traumatized really hard. They have to do really awful things to other people to get in, and then they're just all psychopaths, and they just worship greed and the god of Saturn and all that stuff, and that's what they're doing.
What's the end game, though? If they have Crowley doing this 100 years ago, building up to this moment where they have supreme control, is it like to control the entirety of humanity?
Yeah.
Like, is George H.W. Bush's job done because he was able to, you know, get the Americans and therefore the culture basically of the entire Western world into a position where you can like create like fake outrage and have people out in the streets protesting against a tweet? Like that, you know, people are using magic words now. They're able to say a spell like, you know, all trans women aren't real women. You say that like a load of times on like, all trans women aren't real women, all trans women aren't real women. Like if you say that a bunch of times, that's a fucking spell that will drive thousands of people crazy to protest in the street.
It's very interesting. I never thought about that. I don't know if it's that. I just think there's this group of people. They've had a certain agenda they want to do, meaning total world domination, slavery of mankind, and it is a long game. It is a centuries, millennium game. It's like going back to Rome. End, you know what?
To what end? Like, are we harvesting gold for the Anunnaki just to shoot into their
complete
atmosphere?
Complete utter world power. And maybe it is to harvest gold. Maybe they are reptilians and their whole thing is to just get the gold for the Anunnaki. Or it's just simply like this small group of people who want to completely and utterly dominate everything.
They already own all the money.
Yeah, why though is what I was always wondering. Like, I'm trying to think of they. And whenever, like,
why does Pablo Escobar want to sell cocaine? Because he wants money and power.
At the time, though, he had all the money, and then the money wasn't worth that.
There's never enough money. There's never enough. Millionaires want to be billionaires. Billionaires want to be trillionaires. And trillionaires just want to be fucking Darth Vader. There's just no end of it. It's just there's never enough power. And once they get to where they are, they'll start fucking turning on each other so that there's only one of them, like a Highlander or something like that. You know?
I can imagine George H.W. Bush and like Donald Trump having a fight with swords in a car park or something. That's not... I don't know. Like, I can't see the end game though, Sam. Like, I can't see... When I'm trying to consider the concept of they, when we always say like, this dark force, this cabal behind everything. Like, what's in it for them, you know?
Dude, power.
John D. Rockefeller had fucking 8 heart transplants, and he died some weird. He looked like fucking some bloodhound, you know, old man, like worn out, fucked up, drawn out, like a McDonald's bag that was left out in the rain. Like, he looked fucked up, man.
No, I'm with you, dude.
He didn't have a good time all the way to the end. Is it that they're drinking children's blood because they want to live forever, but they can't because they're only human?
Yeah.
Like, what's the end game for these guys? Is it just to have fun, like it's a computer game to play with people's lives?
I mean, like, you'd have to ask a lizard person. My thing is just like, I just think it's world domination, power, that this small group of people wants to own everything. And it's just, that's it. There's no end game. It's just get more power, get more power, yeah. Get more power, get more power, bang more chicks, bang everybody, run everything, control everything, more money, all the money, all the power, all of everything.
Yeah, it seems fruitless though once you get everything and then you have everything, and what more can you have then, you know? You get everything, what more is there?
Look at Trump. He's just come back on taxes. Dude, you look at like Apple, they paid no taxes. You're giving them a bigger tax break. Like, what is it? It's like, how much money can Apple have? Apple has more money than any company ever in the history of time, yet they just want more money. What like, how much? You don't want to pay tax. You're taking this money that is so beyond anything ever, and you're throwing it in fucking Panama in tax fucking shelters so you don't have to pay tax. You have so much money. Like, if you even paid a 1% taxes, it would change. You know, it's like, you don't want to pay tax on a gazillion dollar. It just makes no sense.
Yeah, it's
never enough.
But I can't understand why. I know it's a weird
because you couldn't do it, Gordo. That's the problem, though, with this whole thing. Is like, when we tell people, and I just got to wrap. I just want to talk about two more real quick things, but When we tell people about pedo-gate and all this stuff, and they can't believe it because they would never do that. Because
they're not us. They don't have morals. I think they just don't have morals. They're just completely different people. They're MK Ultra. They're just...
They're crazy.
I don't know how they do half the shit they do.
They're broken. They are broken. And it's over time. I mean, you listen to these kids of the real rich. They get traumatized as kids. They do it. They traumatize them. So when they get old enough to run the business, they don't have any feelings. Their whole thing is kill, get all the money. That's all it is. I got to get to these last two parts. Bush wants to kick off the drug war. The DEA caught wind of Bush's plan, and they set up encouraging a deal for Lafayette Square across the White House. DEA agents plan to lure somebody to sell them crack. Later, the White House claimed no understanding or request for the DEA to make the purchase. And they basically did it. And this is the weird thing where, like, Bush is a piece of shit for doing that, but the kid that did it is an idiot. Yeah. Why would you sell crack across the street from the White House? Why would you do it?
Make money. Make money, man.
Make money, bang bitches. But the final thing I wanted to talk about is Chocolate the Franklin. City for you. Franklin scandal. That's right. Boy hookers in the White House in 1999. Follow paints a chilling portrait of what's really going on in the upper echelons of the ruling elite here in America. The story involves children from orphanages in Nebraska, which is hilarious because what do they call fucking West Hollywood? Boys Town. And you realize how dark that term really is. Flown around the United States by top Republican officials in order to engage in child sex orgies with America's ruling elite. It's the fact that during the 1980s, child sexual service were provided by top Republican officials to key bureaucrats.
And Democrats, though, don't forget.
Well,
that Epstein plan is full of Democrats too.
For sure, but the funny thing is, everybody talks about how Democrats are all the pedophiles, and I bring up the Franklin scandal. And I'm like, right there, it's fucking right there, dude.
Yeah, Johnny Gosch, man, is the key.
Yeah, Boys Town, Black Larry, you know.
Paul Bonacci is the man who blew the shit on all of that.
Yeah, he was on our show. He was on our show, talked about Black Larry. So all that shit going on.
Yeah.
Dark arts, man. I mean, and it's so funny when the pedophile stuff started coming out. George Bush, W.H. Bush, there's all these stories about what a poon hound he is. Like, he couldn't stop grabbing women's asses.
Oh, that was the last thing he got caught with. The hashtag Me Too, but he was just, people were just, he's too old to even fucking charge
him with
anything.
Dude, that was a cover because all the pedophile shit was coming out. That he was fully 100% engaging
in. So it's like when a gay guy says, like, super anti-gay stuff. He's like, fuck gay guys. And you're like, dude.
Oh, or your buddy talks about pussy way too much.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
You're like, oh, dude, come on, bro.
Come on. Not even that hot. She's fat. You're just saying that.
Gordo, thanks for coming on. So, yeah, the Franklin scale is the last one. Gordo, tell us, our listeners, where they can find you and all your stuff.
I'm on all the social media. Atna has social media. Even the one that the Russians are you know, spying on you through. Vero. We're on everything, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Reddit, the whole lot. The website is thoseconspiracyguys.com. And if you want to jump in to the new project that I'm undertaking over the next few months, it's called TCGTV. It's a working title. And I'm coming to America, like Eddie Murphy, coming to America. We're going to make hopefully 12, maybe 10, 12 documentaries all over the United States, interviewing experts, podcasters, YouTubers, scientists, you know, researchers, witnesses for all of the things that we just look up on the internet. And some of them are like gun control, racism, religion, medicine, food and health, cryptozoology, survivalists. We're going all in, balls out, to try and, you know, meet the fans and have the crack. And Sam, we're going to be joining you there in the ATS studios as well, and recording the show, maybe hopefully in real life.
Oh, Gordo, it's happening. It's done deal. Well, it's happening.
Dude, I'm saying we're going to figure out some sort of episode that you're going to be on. Maybe you could, I don't know if you partake of the herb, the herb of the forest, but maybe you'll come with me and we'll go down to one of the dispensaries downtown and try and interview the dudes.
We'll take you, Gordo. I'm going to show you around, dude. You got a personal escort to show you all the things in LA that you want to go see.
Before we're done, I got one question for Sam.
Yeah.
You're a poor orphan kid in Mexico, and the Bushes want to adopt you, or the Clintons want to adopt you. Your mom was a hooker, and your dad's a gambler. You got nowhere to go. You got to pick one of the two. Which one are you picking? Come on, they're both horrible.
Either the Bushes or the Clintons. Clintons? Oh, I pick death, dude.
You ain't picking none of them? You'd rather stay an orphan in Mexico with no food, no nothing?
I got a chance, dude. I got a chance. Gordo, you're the best. I appreciate you coming on, dude. And
thanks a million for having me, man.
We'll talk to you soon. I just want to go, can you get the clicks up real quick on, guys, go check out the special.
That's right,
go to Vimeo.com. Just put in Sam Tripoli or Zero Fox or the Viper Room. It will come up. Chicago, get with it, man. Get to buy the tickets at Zany's, everybody. Go Chicago. Put in Zany Chicago, Tinfoil Hat, Eddie Bravo, myself, some of our friends will all be there. Grab those tickets, man. We're super excited. I love you all very much. And this will be out today. And then the next episode is with Graham Elwood, and we're talking Julian Assange. You guys are the best. Thank you again, Gordo. And we'll see you guys
soon.
Take care.
Thanks, lads. See ya. Thanks very much.